It is Monday evening, July 20th. The news cycle didn't stop for dinner, and neither did the friction. Let's look at where the gears are grinding. The AI industry is hitting a wall. It is not a wall of intelligence, but one of raw physical infrastructure. Look at the recent launch of Moonshot AI's Kimi K3 model, pronounced Kimi K3. The performance is frontier level, but the company had to freeze signups because they simply ran out of compute. That is the current state of play. We are moving away from an era where the smartest model wins. We are entering an era where the company with the most reliable, scalable, and efficient plumbing wins. Here is the thing. The hype has been all about general-purpose intelligence, but that is becoming a commodity and fast. Chinese models like Alibaba's Qwen 2.5 Max, pronounced Kwen 2.5 Max, and Moonshot's Kimi K3 are closing the gap with U.S. incumbents. They are doing it with different economic models and a push for inference efficiency. This is forcing a massive shift in how businesses handle AI. Companies are realizing that running a multi-trillion parameter model for every single task is a great way to incinerate capital. Instead, the smart money is moving toward atomization. You break a complex process into tiny, manageable pieces. You use a router to send the easy parts to cheap, specialized models and save the heavy-duty reasoning for the expensive stuff. This is where the forward-deployed engineer comes in. These are the people who actually go on-site to audit the messy reality of a business workflow. They are not just building software. They are building trust by creating audit trails for every AI action. If they cannot explain why an agent took a step, the system does not go live. It is a necessary friction. But there is a darker side to all this efficiency. We are seeing a dangerous level of systemic fragility. Think about it. If you build a system that relies on autonomous agents to handle high-stakes environments like sports officiating or national defense, you are introducing new points of failure. If those agents start hallucinating or if the underlying infrastructure, like a satellite network, is compromised, you are not just looking at a software bug. You are looking at an international crisis. The market is starting to wake up to this. Industry projections suggest capital expenditure on AI will exceed $800 billion. Yet, we are seeing the rise of an anti-build movement. People do not want the massive data centers required to feed these models in their backyards. That is going to cause real problems for the hyperscalers who need that electricity to keep the party going. There is also the China shock. If Chinese firms manage to flood the market with cheap, abundant compute, leveraging years of distilled model architectures, it could wreck the business model for the companies currently building out the U.S. infrastructure. It would look a lot like the manufacturing shifts we saw in the early 2000s. And don't overlook the financial risk. Everything is tied together. Institutional hedge funds are using factor-based models that are now heavily weighted toward AI. If sentiment shifts, or if speculative capital decides to jump ship for something like crypto, you could see a cascading liquidation. It is all connected, and it is all highly correlated. So where does that leave us? The era of move fast and break things is over. We are in the era of integration. The winners will not be the people with the biggest, most expensive, general-purpose models. The winners will be the ones who treat AI agents like employees, giving them clear roles, strict guardrails, and specific context. The people who are going to get rich are the ones who can turn non-deterministic software into measurable business results. Everyone else is just burning through usage credits while waiting for a breakthrough that already happened. It is a hell of a transition. The technology is no longer the bottleneck. The bottleneck is our ability to actually manage the damn thing. That is the reality of our new digital ceiling. Of course, some people are still trying to build empires on much darker foundations. Andrew and Tristan Tate are facing 59 criminal charges in Romania. The indictment includes rape, sex trafficking, and the creation of indecent images. Authorities allege the brothers built a business model based on the systematic isolation and coercion of women. This isn't just about two guys being terrible. It's a case study in institutional failure. Reports show police ignored accusations of sexual assault and strangulation against the brothers as far back as 2015. If the system hadn't been so sluggish, a decade of exploitation might have been prevented. Instead, the brothers used that inertia to scale their operations into a formal network called the War Room. It's a hell of a thing to see how much damage you can do when the people in charge of stopping you just don't bother to look. The U.S. government announced new sanctions on Iranian maritime entities today, following reports of increased illicit oil exports. It is a move intended to tighten the financial squeeze on the regime's proxy networks. It is a shitty way to run a business or a country. Speaking of bad bets, the Lakers are currently gambling their entire future on a single defensive move. The Los Angeles Lakers traded two first-round picks to acquire center Walker Kessler this week. The move is designed to address a glaring need for rim protection. It also leaves the team with roughly $450 million committed to just three players, including Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves. That is a hell of a lot of capital tied up in a single roster core. If the rim protection doesn't turn into an elite defensive anchor, they've basically traded their entire future for a short-term gamble that likely won't beat the top of the Western Conference. Across town, the Los Angeles Clippers are doing the exact opposite. They are shedding aging veterans and prioritizing younger talent like Brandon Ingram. They are punting on immediate contention to clear cap space and hoard draft picks. It is a move that favors long-term structural flexibility over the desperate, when now posturing we see from their neighbors. Look, this is the same tension playing out everywhere right now. Whether you are running a business, betting on the track, or just trying to use artificial intelligence, the trap is the same. We are obsessed with vanity metrics. We want the revenue, the win, or the instant output, and we are willing to hollow out our infrastructure to get it. The horse racing world is seeing this too. The three-year-old division is currently a mess of parity. There is no clear leader. Trainers like Lindsey Schultz are finding success by abandoning rigid, pedigree-based plans and treating every race as its own tactical puzzle. They are managing horses as individual assets rather than chasing the prestige of traditional, high-stakes events. It's the same shift we see with jockeys who prioritize physical therapy and intentional recovery over grinding through a season until they break. Even the way we use AI is shifting toward this. If you are still using ChatGPT to just churn out quick summaries, you are doing it wrong. You are treating a reasoning engine like a glorified intern. The real leverage comes from using these tools as partners in an iterative loop. Define your success criteria, give the model clear boundaries, and stop asking it to do the busy work that creates the illusion of productivity. If you are using new technology to automate old, stale habits, you are just wasting your time. It comes down to a decline in cognitive resilience. We are so used to the dopamine hit of constant digital access that we are losing the ability to do the boring, hard work of deep thought. We outsource our reading to summaries and our logic to algorithms. When you stop doing the cognitive labor yourself, you stop building the muscle for discernment. That is not just a personal problem. It is a societal one. When an entire generation is raised in an environment that prizes grievance over agency and echo chambers over independent thought, they become easy targets for manipulation. It is a fragile system. It is exactly like that Lakers trade. You are sacrificing your long-term stability for a quick hit of something that makes you feel better today. Sustainable success is boring. It is about building a moat through management rather than flash. It is about realizing that your competitive advantage isn't in your pedigree or your raw speed. It is in your capacity to adapt, to manage your own health, and to refuse the urge to grow faster than your own systems can handle. Whether you are handicapping the late pick 4 at Assiniboia Downs, pronounced Assiniboia Downs, or trying to fix your company culture, the math is the same. Look for the class drops. Look for the structural inefficiencies. And for God's sake, stop chasing the favorites just because everyone else is. The win is in the stuff that nobody else wants to do because it is slow, it is quiet, and it is actually sustainable. That is the state of play for now. Get some sleep and try to keep your own infrastructure running until morning.